Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 132nd edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Ali Amashkil. He is a friend of mine who has been on the show before, and it's always such an honor to have him here in the studio, and you will soon see why. He was a special guest at the recent Camden Conference, and he's here today to talk about that experience. And he's brought his son, Ahmed, with him in the studio, and we have a special treat from Ahmed later. So I want to start, Ali, by reading your bio from the conference.
Thank you.
So this was his introduction when he was at the Camden Conference, and I think it was so complete, I thought, well, I don't need to rewrite this. Ali Amashkil worked in media relations and outreach for the United Nations Assistance Mission for Iraq before he and his family left Baghdad, Iraq in 2014. He had previously been a producer for ABC News reporting on events throughout Iraq. He was the editor of news and feature stories for Azwat al-Iraq News and a reporter and interpreter for the Times of London and SI Shimbun. Mr. Amashkil is now a parent community specialist with Arab Iraqi families for the Portland Public Schools and is a freelance journalist writing on political, economic, social, and cultural topics. He and his wife and three children live here in Portland. So welcome back to New Mainers Speak, Ali.
First, good morning to everybody. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for inviting me. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to be back again and share some of the stories. I think it's been like a year now.
Yes, I think you were here for my 100th show.
Yes.
And now it's 132nd.
Excellent.
Yes, so last year. Thank you very much. I'm really humbled by having you here, Mr. ABC News producer.
I'm honored.
Even in little old WMPG studio.
Well, I love it. So I feel like this is part of home.
Oh, well.
Because you are part in it.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I love this. I feel like WMPG is part of home because it holds dear what I hold most dear about being an American, which is my First Amendment right to free speech. And it doesn't just happen here. This is access. This is where people can say what they think. So I'm delighted to have you here.
And it's for me like a window to share ideas and a window to be able to talk to others through this radio show.
Hmm. Well, let's talk to them. You were just at this Camden conference, and congratulations on making it in the big time.
Thank you very much.
For listeners who are unfamiliar with the Camden Conference, it's an annual event created to foster discourse on world issues. This was the 30th annual conference by this nonpartisan, nonprofit educational organization. So Camden Conference picks a topic every year, somewhat like religion or globalization, or even about a specific country like China, or last year, New Africa, just to name a few. This year, they picked migration. Can you tell us why they chose that topic this year?
Let me first share with you how I connected with the Camden Conference.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
I first met with Matthew Storin and Charlotte Singleton in my favorite place, which is Starbucks.
Oh, it's your home office?
Yes. And they invited me to speak at the Camden conference, and they said, "Well, do you have something to share with us?" I said, "Yes, I have a small speech. It's like about 7 to 8 minutes, which I shared when I was in D.C. in the monument, which I shared in D.C. like a few months ago.
When you were there for
Rally for Refugees, mm-hmm. And I was one of the speakers. There were some speakers there also in D.C. And they said, "Well, you are saying it's 8 minutes." I said, "Yes." Said, "Well, we only can give you 2 minutes." And I said, "Well,
good thing I'm an editor."
And actually, Matthew was the editor of the Boston Globe. And I said, "Oh, I don't know what to do, actually. First, it's I don't know. What can I say in 2 minutes? And how can I leave an impact or leave a thumbprint in 2 minutes? I will send you my speech, and I leave it to you to make it 2 minutes with some impact or some influence. He said, okay, I send it to him. And a few days later, he sent it to me. Some edits, cuts here and there. And I think it went well. For me, actually, it ended up to be 3 minutes. And I when I was returning from the Camden conference, I called my brother and I said, I will tell you this, Muhammad. It took me 30 hours. I left noon Friday and returned almost 6 p.m. Saturday. And it took me 30 hours to speak for 3 minutes. But this is for me. But really, I gained a lot. I made a lot of friends, get to know a lot of about my where I come from, or the information about the refugees and the immigrants in the world, not about the Middle East, because there were some speakers speaking about other places, not where, as you know, that I'm preoccupied with the Middle East, what's happening in the Middle East.
Of course.
But we have 65 million people as refugees in the world. It's the biggest since the Second World War. And there are other places are really affected, and people are leaving their homes for a lot of reasons. One of them, even the environment.
Yeah.
So there now we have environment refugees. People are leaving because they don't have food there. Their foods are depleted and it's not there. They can't find food and they have to change.
Through desertification and through flooding.
Yes. So, yeah. And this is another reason why people leave their places. So I told him I spent 30 hours to speak 3 minutes.
It's kind of the iceberg of any creative project, isn't it? There's the little piece you see on top, and then all the gigantic work underneath it.
Yes.
Supports it.
Yes, but it a lot of preparation, and I arrived actually in the afternoon, and we had some sort of rehearsal. With me was another lady, another refugee from Portland, Leila Muhammad. She's from Somalia, and I drove her and her two kids with me to Camden and returned back, and we were also talking about how the time we spend there, but we feel that it's worth it. We feel that we were giving 3 minutes, but there were big audience, big conference, well-known conference, and we will leave a positive thumbprint.
Absolutely.
We will leave some sort of an impact that the conference started with our two stories, and a lot of applauding. People were really sympathetic with our stories. And it opened the window and opened the door for more discussion, that now they have people there, people who lived this experience, sharing their stories, and then you get to know and then you are educated about what's happening in the globe.
Yes, yeah, so think globally, act locally. You've started with the local. These are real people for whom these stories are true.
Yes.
And now we'll talk about the trends and the policy. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And then a lot of excellent and amazing speakers shared their experience, shared their knowledge with, as you know, there were like three other locations other than Camden campuses, Portland, Rockland and
Belfast.
Three locations,
so,
and students and questions coming from there. People were interacting.
They've really used technology to their advantage. You were at the Camden Opera House.
Yes.
Was it quite beautiful?
It's an amazing, really. I have a lot of good pictures there. On the day of my arrival, I was amazed how old the building is, but it's beautiful, full of life. I felt it's full of life, and I enjoyed my time there. You know, when I'm not, sometimes I like was looking at the place. Well, though there are some speakers you are supposed to follow, but there, the beauty of the place makes you, you know, wonder, how beautiful is this place, and what happened here, how many people were singing here, how many people made people happy here.
Yeah. It's a gorgeous place. And as you said, there are three satellite campuses, and they are involving up to like 900 people in this conference. Their first one had something like 70. It's just grown and grown over the 30 years they've been producing it. And now, I love this part. You can go to camdenconference.org and listen. So I was away during the Camden Conference this year, couldn't go. And that was hard to not be able to go to that. But guess what? I can listen to everything online. Yesterday I was doing a house project and I just kept playing the topics and ended up painting these stories right into my cupboards.
Yes, amazing. That morning, actually, the day before, I don't know, I just came to my mind this story. I wasn't feeling well, some sort of like a sore throat. And in the morning, still having the same symptoms. But I have a friend. Her name is Elizabeth. She was there, actually. I met her Friday night in the conference, the opening night, and I was supposed to be speaking Saturday morning. And she sent me a text message. It made my day. It made me fly while I was speaking there. And I said, "This is your morning to shine, my friend. And really was amazing how small, little words, few words can change the mood and make you have an impact, make you shine. She said shine. Really, I felt I was shining. Really,
sure,
really, to be honest
shining.
With you. Yeah. I feel that I did my job. It's 3 minutes, but I did share my energy with everybody there, not the people. And I was in control of my words. I hope you will see it's only 3 minutes, but hope you will see the video. I'm promised to be send a clip, and maybe I will share it with you.
Oh, please share it with me, and I'll link it for listeners who want to also hear that. I could put it on the Facebook and the website. I've really enjoyed what I've learned through these powerful individuals. The Camden Conference doesn't have in, you know, some local professors. Last year they were studying on the New Africa, so they flew in world representatives from Africa who could come in and talk about the emerging economics there, or the, you know, cultural issues. And this year, no slackers. Let's see, we've got Undersecretary General for the UN regarding relief, Euro Stability Initiative, the Carnegie Middle East Center Director.
Yeah, she's from Lebanon.
Oh, yes.
Yes. They brought people from, flow them in from Lebanon, from Europe, from Australia. We have Paul James.
Oh, right. Yes. Paul James was the keynote speaker from Australia.
Yeah. And really was shocking. One of the pieces of information he shared, how one of every four who try, especially from the Middle East or people leaving their countries in the Middle East towards Europe, one of four loses his life trying to find a new life, trying to find a door, a window into a new life, into hope.
That's stunning, isn't it? He showed pictures of children.
Yes, especially Alan Kurdi, a very iconic picture of misery and death of the child on the beach, laying on the beach.
I don't know if you allow me. It's really amazing.
Yeah, though the video, the clip is not there yet, but if you allow me to share what I said there.
Ali, that would make me very happy, because here we are, and you know, you had that 3 minutes in the 30 hours, and here this could be a lot better ratio. You could have 3 minutes on this
and
in
a half.
The 30 minutes, and so this could really...
10%.
A big improvement. Hit it. Let's hear your talk from the Camden Conference. That's delicious.
Yes. First, please allow me to share with you my story, why I had to leave my country. I saw violence, the breakdown of law and order, the scarcity of food and clean water, and the collapse of important institutions such as schools and hospitals. The quality of life in Iraq rapidly deteriorated. My family and I lived in constant fear of what tomorrow would bring. I ruminated about whether I would live to see another sunrise. I was troubled with a sense of helplessness, because I was not able to control anything in my life. Everyone there lived under the perpetual shadow of death, the risk of getting killed, kidnapped, or tortured, or getting caught in the crossfire for simply being in the wrong place at the wrong time. I was living in the city of Baghdad, which was the most, and still is, the most dangerous place on earth. It is hard to explain how frightening the situation there was. No matter what part of the city, car bombs, IEDs, and an ongoing sectarian violence occurred almost daily, turning the city into an open battlefield, which could make a simple thing like returning home from work or from shopping a lethal danger for the residents. Danger was compounded several times for me and my family due to my being a journalist working for international media corporations. Many Iraqi journalists were killed while I worked there. Some were shot dead. Some were tortured to death. And others disappeared, never to be heard from again. Others were intimidated into silence or had to leave the country, like my case, after they were threatened with tactics such as bullets sent to their homes in an envelope. Everyone knew and dreaded that message. Sometimes I had to pretend I was not afraid in order to instill a sense of safety and hope into my family members. However, in the end, I decided that the dangers were not going away anytime soon. I had to make a decision for the future of my family. I knew that I was going to leave behind some family and friends, but to me, it was the only thing that made sense. My family and I arrived to Portland, Maine about 3 years ago. We constantly remind each other of God's gift to us, which millions of people around the globe yearn for. The gift of safety and freedom to pursue one's dreams. Thank you.
And that's a little slice of the Camden Conference for listeners that New Mainers Speak today. If you're just joining us, welcome. You are listening to New Mainers Speak. My guest today is Ali Al-Mashakil. In mid-February, he was a special guest at the annual Camden Conference, which was called Refugees and Global Migration, Humanity's Crisis. We're so tech-savvy here. We're taking pictures and posting them while we're talking. You wouldn't believe it. We could do it and you wouldn't even know, but I'm just letting you in. So I've been listening to these online, which anyone can do for free. It's a little bit like TED Talks. You pay a lot of money to go to the conference. Actually, they do a good job of keeping it affordable, but you pay to attend the conference. And then the proceeds help the infrastructure that allows them to videotape and put these online so anyone can enjoy them, students and just people who care about policy or care about this issue in particular. It's a real wealth of information that comes through any one of these Camden conferences, but this time it's on the global crisis of migration. As you said before, there are more than 65 million people who are displaced, and it's unprecedented what's going on, and the ramifications are tremendous. It changes politics in different states. It scares people, and it creates a whole series of things. I wonder if there were any talks that really grabbed you, if there was something that you took away from that conference and learned there.
Actually, for me, it's more about putting us in front of our moral obligations as human beings. It's not about geography anymore. It's about a human being connected to another human being. Another human being who's in need. Another human being who's starving. Another human being who could lose his life just to change geography. Passports were invented 100 years ago. You know, people were just in the move all the time. And now, I'm not saying we should cancel passports or we should not use them, but we should think of a way to help these people. A way to connect, a way to feel that, to feel our existence, to feel that the other or the human beings are part of us as a species, as humans, and help. I don't know what to say about it, but morally we should think of these people. Morally, we don't want to put them in the corner and then say there are dangers of terrorism or there are dangers of some sort of extremism.
Yeah.
We should open windows, open doors for these people. We are afraid. I know the fear of the other is becoming like a global thing. It's all over the world. Unfortunately, I use the analogy of a wave, but it's a very high wave.
Tidal
it's a very
wave.
Big wave. I don't know. Maybe it's a tsunami. Unfortunately, It's that the fear of other and xenophobia, and that we sometimes just think of ourselves. But I think this is a wake-up call. This conference is a small wake-up call for us, that we should be up to our moral obligations. We should find a way to help. We should push back. We should say we are all humans, and we should find a way, we should find a solution to this crisis. Yeah. Maybe it's not knocking our doors now. We are here in Maine or in Portland or this part of the U.S. But you never know. You never know.
You don't. And I think they took this on in several different directions. They kind of defined refugee. And one of my favorite speakers was Kelly Clements. She's the UN deputy on refugees in Geneva. And she came and she said, solidarity is more than sentimental. She was talking about when different countries have to work together to receive people who are displaced. She said, solidarity is more than sentimental. It's strategic. And I wondered if you could explain why she would think that that was strategic.
Because it's putting us in front of our moral obligations. Strategic because we should not be selfish. There are people who are in need.
And when needs aren't met, they join things like ISIS or start organizations like...
Not only this, if you are hungry, you stop thinking logically.
Yes. Yes, it becomes...
If you see your child might starve, you don't think logically. You start looking for food, any source of food, any source that gives life to... And I'm sure everybody who has a child or everybody who can see a child there. I think this year... End of last year or beginning of this year, we lost 60 souls to homelessness. People
in Portland,
in Maine.
In Maine,
people didn't find food, didn't find shelter. 60, and it's a big number. It's an amazing number, and this is a rich place. This is a place where people should not starve. People should find a place to stay in. And then this is 60 here, and then we are talking about 65 million people might die. We already, the vigil touched me. I really was crying that here in Maine, we lose 60 people to hunger.
It's profound that could happen here.
And there are 65 million people who could lose to hunger.
Yeah.
Children.
I think when we have a choice in front of us, sometimes we don't realize what the choice is, but the choice is either help 65 million people who are desperate.
I'm not saying bring them to the U.S. or bring them to Europe. Find solution. Another thing, solution is not, it's not only about bringing these people into new geography. Make peace.
Yeah. 1% of immigrants, of refugees find a home in another country. 1%.
Peace. Where people can return to their homes, return to their kids, return to their schools, to their teachers, to their places where they used to play.
And that's where policy comes into play. And maybe 30 hours is a long time to sit and listen to people talk about policy, but it really matters.
Yes.
Shelley Pingree attended this conference, and she stood up and had questions for this fabulous panel of speakers about, okay, help me out. You've got all the answers. What should I be asking more?
Yes, and I met her.
Oh, you met Shelley.
One of the breaks, and I really invited her to my house. Actually, I told her I have siblings in Iraq, and this is like 3 weeks ago, before the new executive order, and Iraqis were banned then. And I said, my mother is crying. Since she heard about that the Iraqis are banned from entering, I have two brothers and one sister who want to come here. But now they are banned. They cannot come to the U.S. And she said, I pray to God, or I'm looking for anybody who could help me. And I said, Shelley Pinger, we need your help. I don't know how, but my mother is crying all the time. And my mother made this promise. My mother wears a hijab and said, if my kids come to the US, I'll be wearing the US flag as my hijab for the rest of my life.
Your mother is very small and very powerful.
Yes. Yes,
yes, and very sad. It's an amazing thing for a policy to disconnect you from your loved ones. And I'm sorry that that's happening to your family. We are getting toward the end of the show, so I wanted to make sure we make some time for your beautiful son to share some poetry with us.
Before we end, I have a small request. I don't know whoever is hearing us. I have a project to write a book. And I have like 400 stories about the Middle East, especially about Iraq, political, social, environmental. And I have a plan to turn these stories into a book. And I need help. I don't know if somebody's capable of helping in publishing it. A volunteer who can help me in editing and turning it into a project that at the end can be a book.
Yes, maybe somebody from Salt Institute or maybe someone listening today. If you're a person who thinks they'd like to work with 400 stories.
About 400 stories.
Then contact me through...
Yes, through Kate.
newmainerspeak.com, or you could find Ali at the Portland Public Schools.
Multilingual Multicultural Center, which I'm very happy and proud to be part of this center.
Yes, and you are the person who goes out in the community.
And I talked a lot, actually, about my center and how we have a very special place here in Maine. It's an amazing place.
You do.
More than 32% coming from all around the world. We have 88 languages spoken in Portland Public Schools. It's amazing.
And you have a very supportive superintendent. Nothing like a little leadership.
He is.
All right. So I would like to introduce, for the first time on radio, the young Ahmed Al-Mashakil. He is going to recite some poetry for us. Iraq is a place of a rich poetic tradition. And learning poems and carrying them with you in your heart is a very common practice. So this is Ahmed.
I tell you the names of the trees and the dialogue of the night crickets. I give you the address of the distant stars. I registered you in school of spring. I taught you the language of the birds, the alphabet of the river. I wrote your name on the notebook of the rain, on the sheets of snow, and on the pine cones. I taught you to talk to rabbits and foxes, to calm the spring lamp's wool. I showed you the unpublished letters of the birds. I gave you the maps of the summer and winter so you could learn how the wheats grow, how the white chicks peep, how the fish marry, how milk comes out of the breast of the moon.
Thank you very much, Ahmed. This is by Nazar Al-Kabbani.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today. So happy to have you in the studio, son of a big news producer, so you never know what your future holds. Maybe you'll be back here at WMPG with your own show someday. That's from a sixth grader from the Portland Public Schools.
Thank you very much, Kate. Thank you, everybody.
Ali, you are fabulous. Thank you so much for coming in on short notice. I had a guest cancel, and I just wrote to Ali. I said, any chance you're free midday Sunday? And he said, of course. And that's very generous. I very much appreciate it. From ABC News to WMPG, you are fantastic. And it's always a pleasure to spend an hour with you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And thank you all for listening. Please join us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com. And check out more related information at facebook.com/newmainerspeak. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Ali Al-Mashakil. And can you tell us what song you've chosen to close with today, Ali?
Actually, it's from the Trolls movie. We love it. My kids love it. We watched the movie like 20, 30 times. And this song is like, it's an amazing song. It's about feelings and makes kids happy and love, which we need.
Can't argue with love.
Yes.
Thank you.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric wavy when I turn it on.
And if you want it inside your soul, just open up your heart, let music take control. I got that sound.
sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, lock the way we rock it. So don't stop. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that.